He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
So we pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you encourage each and every one of us. From this day on, we want to grow. We don't just drink milk and help us to digest the solid food. And I pray that you give us the courage to do so and strength to do so. And we know that this is a process of growth. It's a growing pain. And every one of us has to go through that. And I pray that you have mercy on each and every one of us. I know that when we try to eat solid food and we may stumble, we may have a hard time too. But and that's how we grow into maturity. And that's how children grow too. And I pray that you help us to do so. Not to remain to be infant, but to grow into maturity, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this kind of process, and I pray that you give us humility so that we humbly receive your word and so that our life be changed. And I pray that every time when your servant explain your word to your children, give them the insight, and also give your children the same kind of insight so that we understand and what we have learned. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you have to know the background. The author who write the book of Hebrew, he's very courageous, because he know really, really well that he himself was brought up in the synagogue. And he know that what has already been determined, as it is recorded in Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 21. For the Jews has already made up their mind that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And he himself was a Jew, so he knows better. That is the decision in their meeting, that they make up their mind, as it is recorded in John chapter 9, verse 22. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. He know that, and he's not afraid of it. And also in chapter, in the same gospel, let me see, chapter 12, verse 42, to 43. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of their synagogue. For they love praise from men more than praise from God. Finally, in 16, Gospel of John 16, and Jesus said, "All these I have told you, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue, because you acknowledge Jesus the Christ. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that he is offering a service to God." Verse 3. They will do such things. They put you out of synagogue and they kill you because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Brother and sister, we have to have the same kind of courage like the author of the Hebrew. I tell you where the courage comes from. He knows really well that the Jewish people, especially the leader in the synagogue, has already made up their mind. They have decided that anyone who acknowledges Jesus is the Lord, is Christ, is the Son of God, is the high priest, will be kicked out of the synagogue, will be put off the synagogue. If you keep on doing that, not just acknowledging it, but you preach about that, they will kill you. They know the dangers of it. So that's why they themselves study. I want you to make sure in the future, if the Lord bless you and want you to be the Sunday school teacher, to teach other people, I give you the pattern of how to do it, just like what this author is doing it. You know that doing so, telling others that Jesus is the Christ, telling others that Jesus is the Son of God, telling others that Jesus is the Lord, you know that by doing so, you face a lot of difficulty. If you know that the consequences are so severe, you better study to make sure that is right. You have to know why. They put you out of the synagogue, there is a possibility. They are right, you are wrong. Why would they put you out of synagogue? Because they are afraid that you influence the ignorant people. Because they think you are wrong. But if they think you are wrong, so many people think you are wrong, there is a possibility that you are wrong indeed. But there's also another possibility that you are not wrong. But how do you know that you are wrong or not? You are not wrong. That is in chapter 5, verse 11. You stop being a baby. Don't just drink spiritual milk. What is spiritual milk? Spiritual milk is something that has already grinded, make it so soft, easy for you to swallow. But when you study yourself, start from scratch, hey, that is difficult work. That's just like salty food. But when you take it down, get your hand dirty, you know what you believe. And you're willing to die for it. And God will use you. Do I make myself clear? Don't just read commentary. Don't just say what the other people are saying. What he's saying. And then I study it. I check him out. I prove it to you how he studied. He said, you know, we heard all these 12 apostles. When they preach, what do they preach? Let's take a look at what do they preach. Go back to the Acts chapter 2. What do they preach? Chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Christ. Hey, you heard that. When anyone who acknowledges Jesus is the Christ, will be put off the synagogue. And yet, at the temple area, temple court, he preached about this kind of sermon. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They know the danger of it. Because people will be so upset that they will stone him to death too. He willing to die for Jesus. Because when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they know they are right. Not that they don't know the danger of it. I just quote you chapter 9, chapter 12, chapter 16. You don't know the background, you don't know how dangerous. I know how dangerous it is. When you say something that is different from any other pastor, people are going to say you are wrong. Because how come they will make this kind of comment? If they are wrong, are you telling me that 95% of them are wrong and you are the only one who is right? Right? They think you are so boastful. You are so proud. You are so arrogant. But make sure you study it. And then you find out the reason. You grow into maturity from infant to be young man, from young man to be mature person. And then you can say, as it is written in the Bible. And you quote all the other Bible verses. You know what did he say first? He used it from human perspective. Aaron was a high priest, but because Aaron's just stand up, hey, brother and sister, look at me. Now I become a high priest. He cannot do that. He was anointed to be a high priest by Moses. And everybody know that Moses was a spiritual man, right? Anointed by God, right? And God used Moses to anoint Aaron. Aaron did not take the honor himself, say, oh, look, now I promote myself to be the high priest. You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? No, he didn't do that. He has all kind of background. You remember who take Moses his father-in-law place back to Egypt? Who take him? Aaron. God sent Aaron to bring Moses back. Right? And who confirmed that Moses was the leader? You remember the 12 staff that was put inside the most holy place? You remember that staff? It's dead already. It was budded. And what else? Blossom. And then what?
Produce almonds.
Finally produce almond, right? God confirmed that he's the leader. He didn't take up the responsibility and say, oh, today I become a leader now. You better give me 110. I'm the high priest. Right? No, you don't do that. So that's why he said that from human point of view, every high priest is selected among men and is appointed to represent them in matter related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifice for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to witness. That is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sin as well as for the sins of the people. And then, after he talked about Aaron, now he talked about Jesus. No one take this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was called by God. So, Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. God said to him. What did God say? First of all, God said, you are my son. And then what did God say in another place? You are a priest. God called Jesus his son. God called Jesus, you are a priest forever. not in the order of Levi, in the order of Melchizedek, using Bible verses to prove that is his insight. We should learn that. If this author doesn't know what you call Psalm chapter 2 verse 7, and if he doesn't know Psalm 110 verse 4, he cannot explain these Bible verses. Because he know that anyone who acknowledges Jesus is the Christ. What do you mean is the Christ? Christ means anointed. Either you're anointed as king, you're anointed as priest, you're anointed as prophet. Either one, you're anointed. Right? Go back to chapter 2, Acts. Chapter 2, verse 36. At the end of Peter's sermon, and Peter said that, in conclusion, therefore, let all Israel, he didn't want to miss anyone Israelite, let all Israel be assured of this. What did Peter want his kinsmen to know? God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. And you guys make a mistake and you crucify him. And your teacher make a mistake and saying that they have decided to put anyone who acknowledge Jesus is the Lord be put out of the synagogue. They are wrong. They are wrong. Because they know what they are talking about. You understand? You got to know the reason, the argument, so that when people challenge you, then you know how to give the answer. When you give the answer, you don't give human argument, human principle. You give the principle of God's word based upon what God say. When you say this is what God's word, okay, let's go back and study God's word. Is that what God say? You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, I think he's very skillful by saying. What did he say? Aaron did not take up the honor upon himself, calling himself high priest. If Aaron, the earthly high priest, cannot take upon himself that kind of honor, same as the president of the United States, you have to be elected. Right? Has to be elected. You cannot just say, we don't need to go to election. I'm the one, you know what I mean? I'm the one. Just believe in me, you know what I mean? You know, this is really laughable, you know, if you say such a thing. You understand? Even though earthly thing, we won't say that. We need confirmation. How much more the heavenly things? So that's why, when I say that, when Peter say that, when John say that, when they preach in front of all this congregation, saying that, hey, let all Israel be assured of this thing. This Jesus whom you crucify, the Lord has made him. The Lord has made Jesus, this Jesus, Lord and Christ. Before you heard from your teacher saying that, the Pharisees saying that this is wrong, now I say they are wrong. You better turn around. You know what? What happened when they hear that? Wow, this is the first time I heard of that. And then what do they say? Verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostle, brother, what shall we do? You know what? When you study the scripture yourself, you know what you're talking. And you give proof to the other people. And it is convincing. They're not necessarily 100% buy you in and believe in you, but at least you arouse their interest to go home and study the scripture. Does that make sense? If they don't study, they remain to be infant, you can't change that. But if they say, no, I don't want to be infant, because I want to make sure, since you said that, let all Israel be assured of this, I want to be sure, I go back and study it. Give me the proof. You understand? That's the way how we grow into maturity. That's how I learn. I learn is not because I go to seminary. I learn it because I have that curiosity. How come everybody's wrong? Is there a possibility that fishermen, Peter, John, James, maybe they are wrong? They're ignorant. I'm going to check it myself. But the more I check it, I find out they are right. The fishermen that are chosen by God are right. They say the right thing. You understand? Now go back to Hebrews chapter 5. If the earthly high priest cannot take this honor upon himself by calling himself high priest, he must be called by God in order to be high priest. If every high priest has to go through this kind of process, how much more Jesus has to go through this kind of process? So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming the high priest. But God said to him, you write down, you are my son, you write down number one. And then you are high priest, say number two. What I'm saying is, something has to go first. What is go first? Because later on saying that you are a priest forever. I have never seen any earthly priest is a forever priest. Aaron can only be a priest for 40 some odd years and then he pass away. You can only be a priest as long as you live. You can only be a priest as long as you live. When you pass away, you are not a priest. Someone take your position. You understand? Do you remember what the Bible say in Deuteronomy? When Moses, before Moses passed away, his clothing, high priest clothing, has to take it down, give it to his son. Because his son take the position. Do you understand that? So the earthly high priests are not forever. Maybe only 40 years. Maybe some 20 years, some people. Like they die young. Right? Not forever. In here the Bible say, Psalm 110 verse 4, you are a priest forever. The only person can be a priest forever. He has to be the one he live forever. The only person he can live forever is Jesus. Because when he resurrected from the dead, according to Romans chapter 6, what Paul is saying, when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he will not die anymore. He only died once. Verse 9. Chapter 6 verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. If he cannot die again, that means when he was resurrected from the dead, he lived forever. Right? Yeah. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. If he lives to God and he lives forever, and he can be a priest forever. So that's why he has to be what? God has to call him, you are my son today, I have become your father. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus become God's son. According to Romans chapter 1 verse 4, from the Holy Spirit point of view, when God raised Jesus from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, that demonstrate to the whole mankind that Jesus was the son of God. Because he won't die anymore. He will live forever. So when the author quoted the Bible, he quoted Psalm chapter 2 verse 7 before he quoted Psalm 110 verse 4. He called him, you are my son first. And then he called him, you are a priest forever. The sequence is very, very important. That's why I say number one and number two. One is before the others. Do I make myself clear? You know what really impressed me is the way that they, you know, do you remember the story I told you? When I was in high school, I don't feel like studying, I skip classes. I like to say some garbage, you know, like philosophy, you know. I like economic, you know why? Because I don't need to study. I just read some newspaper. I just write some garbage there, write my own opinion. They say, wow, the teacher say, that's good insight. You know what I mean? I don't need to study. I just need to hear what this guy say, what the other guy say, and then write my stuff there. But engineering, math, you cannot do that. 1 + 1 = 2, you can't say maybe 3 or 4, and then use some other argument to convince you, to make yourself look good. You know what I mean? So that's why I don't like to study math, because you need to discipline yourself. I like to study history. I like to study economic. they are all liars, okay? Okay. Right? But I repent. I turn around. When I read economics books, they are not in sequence. I find out they are very disordered. When I study in detail, I don't get any insight. But when I read the Bible, I find out the way that they put it in the order, they want to convince me something. And you know what? When you read the Bible, you don't have any other Bible background, you do not see how good it is. Once you get the background, you memorize so much Bible verses, and you read it, you enjoy so much. Do you understand? Same as if you know how to cook, you go to a restaurant, when you eat something, you know what they use. You know why they're doing what they're doing. And you learn a lot more. I encourage you. That's like what I taught your Yima, to memorize Bible verses. You want to be a good Bible teacher, you got to memorize it. But it's a long process. You won't see the result right away. Because when you start memorizing it, first of all, you have to understand what you're memorizing, right? And then you have to put all these things together, right? It takes time, right? But this is a solid foundation. Believe in me. You can listen to this, listen to that. You can say a lot of things, but it's hollow. It's not from you. Now, that guy, he says, so Christ also did not take upon himself the glory. Who gave him the glory? God gave him the glory. How God gave him the glory in verse 5? Because God raised him from the dead and then called him, you are my son. Today, I have become your father at the day of resurrection. God gave him the honor. Just like Romans chapter 1. Verse 4. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. God called Jesus Christ. God called Jesus Lord. So when I read Romans, and then I go to read Acts chapter 2 verse 36. I find out what Peter saying and what Paul saying. They saying the same thing. He said, let all Israel be assured of this. This Jesus, whom you crucify, God has made him both Lord and Christ. You guys make a mistake. And then Paul make it even more clear. Give us the reason. Paul give us the reason why God give Jesus the honor to be God's son. And God give Jesus the honor to be a priest forever. Because he lives forever. You understand? And besides, Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. So he's not of the tribe of Levi. So that's why the Bible says ahead of time, in Psalm 110 verse 4, you are a priest forever, not in the order of Levi, but in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, you don't even know where he come from. Is he Jews? Very likely not. If he's not a Jews, he's not of the tribe of Levi. And yet he become high priest, become a priest forever. He's more honorable than Aaron. In the same way, Jesus is more honorable than Aaron. You understand what I'm trying to say? Why Jesus is more honorable than Aaron? Because Aaron will die. Jesus don't die. He died only once, and once for all. Okay? He won't die anymore. Secondly, Aaron, when he offers sacrifice, he has to offer sacrifice for his own sin. Jesus did not have to offer sacrifice for his own sin. He's holy. And Aaron has to offer sacrifice year after year, Sabbath after Sabbath. And Jesus only did it once and lasts forever. Right? So that's how he introduced Jesus. You know what? If you have this kind of background, if your friends are of any other religion, you can ask him in a very gentle way, tell me something about your religion. Who are your founder? What has he done? And then I tell you, Jesus Christ. And you bring up a very good, interesting conversation. You don't study that, you get nothing to say. On top of that, and let me tell you one thing, I want to assure you guys. If you don't study now, you think it's difficult to convince the young people to believe in Jesus. When you become a mother, 20 years later, no, you don't have to wait 20 years, maybe 10. Hard to tell, right? Say 15. 15 years later, you have a son like that. Oh, that will be a disaster, right?
Bad news.
Okay, you have a son like that.
So, you think you can convince, at that time, you can convince your son to believe in Jesus? When he was at school, his teacher will not believe in Jesus as Lord, as Christ. He gonna mock at Jesus. And if you are not educated, and if your children look down upon you, you have an even more difficult time to convince your children to believe in Jesus, unless you study the scripture right now. I will not live forever. I can teach you as much as I can. But at the end of the day, you still have to study yourself. You have to convince yourself. It's not because of what Pastor John say. It's because I study myself. I know the truth. These kind of people, if he say exactly what the other people is saying without insight, people won't look at the book of Hebrew. They look at book of Acts is already good enough, right? But when I look at the book of Hebrew, I look at book of Acts, it helped me to have a deeper understanding. You got that? Okay. Verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayer and petition with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And Jesus was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And he gave us a proof how did God make Jesus be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. How? Because of his obedient submission because of his obedient submission to God. Okay? Come on in. Shall we see there? See there, Samuel. Then Daniel, I want to sit with Daniel. It is so proof. Study with this young man. Share you with young man. Okay. Yeah. Help Samuel. Turn to Book of Hebrew. You know what this, Samuel? Look at me. This morning, Daniel. He recite the entire chapter of Isaiah.
Entire chapter?
12 verses. So I want you to learn that from the older brother Daniel, right? Daniel is what? Daniel is 4 years older than you. He's your older brother, okay? You got that, Samuel? Daniel, you help him, okay? Help this young man. Okay, go back. Okay. Now we are in Hebrew chapter 5, verse 11. Now, first of all, I'm sorry, it's not chapter 5, verse 11. It's chapter 5, verse 7 to 10. First of all, he using the Psalm 110, verse 4, using God's scripture, God's word. David's Psalms to prove that Jesus is the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And then he using his prayer to prove that he's the high priest. He using his prayer. Now, listen to me. What is the proof that I know this person is God's servant? I listen to his prayer. When I hear that God answer his prayer, I know God chose him. You don't have to tell me any other thing. You just offer prayer to God. If God answer your prayer, according to Psalm 99, verse 6 to 7, in those days, Aaron, Moses, and Samuel, when they offer prayer to God, and God answered their prayer. Why? When God spoke to them from the pillar of fire and cloud, and they listened to God. How do I know he's God's servant? When they listen to God's voice, they obey God, they submit to God's voice, and God said, you listen to me, eh? I listen to your prayer too. Could you read that to me? Psalm 99, verse 6 and 7. I want Samuel to read it first. Psalm 99, verse 6 to 7. Read it.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who...
You know, you see this thing? That's why I asked you to read that. You see your name there? Samuel? Read that one more time.
On his name, they called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statute and the decree he gave them.
So do you know that? Do you want God to answer your prayer, Samuel? What's the requirement that he will answer your prayer? You have to what? You have to listen to God's voice. You have to obey your parents. Do you see that? Daniel, I want you to read it one more time.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord.
They is what? Aaron, Moses, and Samuel. They. Say it again. They call?
They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar.
Who is he?
He spoke to
them. Who is he?
God spoke to Moses, Aaron, and Samuel from the pillar of cloud. Moses, Aaron, and Samuel kept God's statutes and the decrees God gave them.
Okay. Edda, could you read it one more time? I want that one to capture into you guys' mind. Now, what is the proof? Listen to me carefully. What is the proof that you are God's servant? Two things. Prove it to me by your obedience. Prove it to me by God answering your prayer. I want you to write it down, right beside verse 6 and 7. That is the proof that three of them are God's servant. Don't ever tell me when you call to God and God say, are you speaking? I don't know you're speaking. Are you talking to me? I thought you're talking to someone else, right? That's not fun. That's no good, right? Prove your servanthood by, number one, obedient to God's voice, obedient to God's command. Secondly, by God answering your prayer. Does that make sense? So what did I say, Samuel? Mm-hmm. What did I say? What's the proof that you are God's son? What's the proof that you are God's servant? Proof number one, by obedience to his voice. Obedient to his word. Secondly, by God answering your prayer. Because when you listen to God, and God listens to your prayer, you disobey him, he don't hear your prayer. Does that make sense? Etta, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, now Sari, read that. You read already, Etta? Did you read? You read it first.
Word for word?
Yeah, verse for verse, 6 and 7 of Psalm 99.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them.
Okay, now, sorry.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them.
When God gives you his word and you obey him, you become obedient child, you are truly his servant. They don't just call Lord, Lord, and then deny God. They call God is Lord, and yet they obey. They call, he said, I'm your servant. What is the proof of your servanthood? It's by your obedience. What is the proof of your sonship? It's by your obedience. Right? What's the proof of your priesthood? By your obedience. And second proof, what's the proof that you are a good high priest? When high priests offer prayer to God, God answers them. Does it make sense? Now, with this kind of background, I want you to write that down. Right beside verse 7 to 10, right at the end of verse 10, you write down Psalm. What did I say? 99? 6 and 7. With that kind of background, and let me explain these Bible verses to you. First of all, he quoted the Bible verses saying that you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And then you just say, oh, these Bible verses apply to Jesus. And I know he's the high priest. He lived forever, so he's going to be a high priest forever. Hey, prove it to me in his earthly ministry that he's indeed a high priest. When Jesus cried over prayer to God, and God answered his prayer. You understand what I'm trying to say? During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayer. He didn't just say he offered prayer once. Every time he prayed to God, God answered his prayer, man. Every time he offered petition with loud voices, with loud cry and tear to the one who could save him from death. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Perfect obedience. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. I want to circle the word. First of all, obedient in verse 8. And then circle the word in verse 9, obey him. First of all, Jesus left the example for us to follow. Jesus obeyed God, and then Jesus wants us to obey him. When Jesus obeyed God, he became perfect. Now listen to me carefully. Do you remember I say Matthew chapter 5 verse 48? Be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. If my heavenly Father is perfect, and if Jesus Christ is God's Son, he better be perfect. He proved, the author of the book of Hebrew, proved to each and every one of us, he's a perfect son. When Jesus Christ asks us to be perfect, for our heavenly Father is perfect, if he himself is not perfect, he's a liar. But he didn't call himself perfect. Someone called him perfect because someone witnessed for him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That kind of witness is even better. Because when you call yourself perfect, of course everybody calls ourselves perfect. Why don't you try, you know, when your father says something to you, you argue with him, you know. You always argue, you know, right? If your father say, hey, look at me, I'm perfect, you know. And he say, oh, yeah, you're perfect, right? But when he acts to have a perfect submission to Heavenly Father, and he's really good father, and you call him, Daddy, you're perfect, Daddy. It's better than he say to himself, he's perfect. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Someone saying that. Jesus is perfect. I want you to write beside. Make perfect, verse 9. And once make perfect, write beside make perfect. I want you to write it down. 5:9. Take it out. Right at the top of the Bible. 5:9. You write down. Equal Genesis 17:1, Psalm 119:1, Genesis 17:1, right beside 17:1, you write Abraham. And then Psalm 119:1, you write down David, so that you remember what I say. Abraham. Genesis 17:1, and then right beside Psalm 119:1, you write down David. Because Psalm is a Psalm of David, right? And then you write down Matthew.
Put two dots right here.
5:38. You write Jesus saying. And then you write 5:9, that's Hebrew. And once make perfect. Isn't it is a sarcastic, ironic, that Jesus wants us to be perfect and yet he himself is not perfect? If he wants us to be perfect, he has to be perfect. Otherwise, he cannot require us to be perfect. You yourself cannot even do it, and how can you expect me to do it? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He himself was made perfect by perfect submission to God's voice, to God's will, even suffer unto death, right? He was made perfect, and that's why he wants us to be perfect. So, I want to start from you. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. I want you to read it to me. Samuel. Each and every one of us go to Matthew 5:48. I want you to memorize the Bible verses, okay? So that next time when you read the Bible verses and the Bible verse, God require you to be a perfect, then you know it's a harsh requirement from the pastor. It's what Jesus require of you to do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, sometimes we say, I can't do it. It's too hard, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say? Go to 5:48 first. Do you find it? Go read it, Samuel.
Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
I want you to read two more times so that you remember. I want you to remember these Bible verses. This is your assignment today, okay?
Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Who said that? Jesus. Jesus said that. To whom did Jesus say? Jesus said to Pastor John, or he said to you too? Daniel, do you know the answer?
To everybody.
To everybody. Now, to whom did Jesus say?
Everybody.
Okay, good. Now you read one more time then. Now he say to you now. 5:48. Read that. Matthew 5:48.
Be perfect, therefore.
I want you to read the Bible verses. The quotation.
Matthew 6. Read.
No. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48.
Matthew.
The entire chapter is chapter 5, right? It's chapter 5, verse 48, right? Read that.
Say
Matthew 5:48.
Matthew 5:48, and then read this.
Read that.
Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Now, go. Daniel. Hold the Bible verses so that when you read it yourself, you're going to sing it in your mind. Then don't tell me, oh, where does the Bible say be perfect for our Heavenly Father is perfect? You know it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. I want you to sing into your mind. Read that out loud, okay?
Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Enter.
Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Sorry?
Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
I want to tell you one thing. I want you to write it down right beside here. That Jesus' teaching is based upon the Old Testament teaching. Because the Old Testament teaching, in Genesis, when God said to Abraham, God wants Abraham to be perfect. When God said to David, God wants David to be perfect. I want you to write it down right beside Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. I want you to write down Genesis 17, 1. And then I want you to write down Psalm 119 verse 1. Now, I don't want you to leave Matthew. I want you to go to the Old Testament, Genesis 17, 1. And Psalm 119, 1. Let's go. Okay? Okay. Go. Genesis
17.
Chapter 17, verse 1. You want to read it. Quote the Bible verses first, and then you read the content.
Genesis 17, verse 1.
When
Abraham was 19.
His name wasn't changed that yet.
Was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless."
Okay. Daniel?
Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless."
Walk before me and be blameless. Be blameless means be perfect. Okay?
Can I add
Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless."
What does the Lord God Almighty say to Abram when the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. That means that is what God required Abraham to be. Do you see that? So when Jesus said to me in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, be perfect therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect, he's not just, Jesus' teaching is in conformity with God's teaching to Abraham. If we say that, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm descendant of Abraham, and yet I don't walk like Abraham walked before God, and I'm not his descendant. Don't ever tell me that you are descendant of Abraham. You don't walk like him. Don't tell me that. So we all have to turn around and repent and learn from it, that it is God's requirement for each and every one of his children to be what? Live in perfect submission to God's will. First of all, Jesus set the example, and then all of us has to follow that. Does it make sense? Don't tell me that you believe in Jesus and you don't walk like Jesus. You have to learn it. You may not learn it well, you may not learn it quick, you may be a slow learner, it's okay. But you have to learn it. Don't tell me you don't have to learn it. Does that make sense? You don't learn it, he's going to discipline you in such a way, you still have to learn it. Because without learning it, you don't have eternal life. By learning it and obey Jesus, for sure we know we have eternal life. I'm eternally saved. I will go back to Hebrew chapter 5 verse 9 to prove it. Okay?
Can I add a couple of Bible verses here, Moses?
Go ahead.
God asked Abraham to be perfect, right? And also God asked Moses to be perfect as well. So that recorded on Deuteronomy 18:13. So because in the history of Jew, Israel, they have like three very important person, right? Abraham, Moses, David. So God wants Abraham to be perfect. That recorded on 17:1 we just read. And also God wants Moses to be perfect. That is Deuteronomy 18:13. And also God wants David to be perfect. And David acknowledged that. And David said, I want to be a perfect in front of God. That is in Psalm 18:23. And also recorded on 2 Samuel 22:24. So because I was preaching that one when you are in New York this week, not before.
Okay.
So this is why I have that kind of Bible verses here.
Now this one, Deuteronomy is not saying to Moses. Deuteronomy is saying to
Moses,
the whole Israelite.
Moses wants the whole Israelites to be perfect in front of Jesus.
So in other words, Jesus' teaching is not a New Testament teaching.
Yeah.
Jesus' teaching is God's teaching. And don't tell me that I'm in the New Testament, I don't need to read the Old Testament. Don't give me that baloney. You understand what I'm trying to say? I found out that God remained the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how God teach Abraham, David, Moses, and all Israelites, and now God teach Christian the same thing. Don't tell me that, you know, oh, I just believe and it's okay. You believe in this God's word that I just said. Be perfect, be blameless, like your heavenly Father is blameless. Like Jesus Christ was made perfect by perfect submission. We all have to learn to submit to God's word. That's the bottom line. That's what I'm trying to prove. And the reason why I just quoted Abraham and David, because these are the Matthew is quoting. Regarding the genealogy of Jesus Christ, he quoted Abraham, he quoted David. Right? Now, so where are we? We quoted the Genesis 17:1. Now go to Psalm 119. What's what? Psalm 119, What's one? Daniel, could you read that?
Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord.
And David know that. In order to be perfect in God's sight, God expects us to walk according to the law of the Lord. To walk according to the law of the Lord means obedient. When you obey, you become perfect. When Jesus obeyed, he become perfect. He be a blessed person. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, whose ways are perfect, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Now, go back. Hebrew chapter 5, verse 9. I go back to verse 7 again. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayer and petition with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard. He was heard. God heard his prayer. God answered his prayer because of his reverent submission. Because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. If God, Jesus Christ, was a son of God, and now we are called son of God because we believe in Jesus. If Jesus has to learn obedience from what he suffered, do we, as a student of God's word, do we, as a servant of Jesus Christ, if our master, if our Lord has to learn obedience through suffering, do we have to learn that? I think so. If we call him Lord, Lord, you better learn it. Okay? And then once we learn it, what good does it do in verse 9? And once made perfect, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He didn't say for all who have faith in him. For all who obey him. Prove it. Prove it to me that you are son of God by obeying Jesus. You know what? If I don't study the scripture, I don't even know his word, how do I obey him? Obedience come from what? Come from his word first. Everything go back to his word. We got to know his word. What did he say to me according to his word? I got to know that. Once I know it, then I start learning to obey him. And that's why we're studying God's word. Does it make sense? It makes sense, right? I read that to you again. Verse 9 is very important. When Jesus Christ was made perfect once, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Because he showed us the way how to go to heaven. He showed us the way to prove that we are sons, we are servants, we are priests. What's the main thing the priest has to do other than offer sacrifice? Has to offer prayer and petition, right? But when you offer prayer and petition, the Lord reject it. You're not his prayer. So all these Bible verses from 7 all the way to verse 10 is to prove that. It's not that I'm saying that he is the high priest forever. Through his prayer, God answered his prayer. Do you know at one point in time, every time when God pray and thunder and God respond, right? Everybody hear that. And Jesus said, this voice is not for me. I know God hear my prayer. You guys don't know that God hear my prayer. I let you hear his voice. Take a look. Luke chapter 3. During Jesus' baptism. Nowhere. John talk about Jesus' baptism. Matthew talk about Jesus' baptism. Mark talk about Jesus' baptism. Luke talk about Jesus' baptism. Only in Luke talk about Jesus' prayer during his baptism. Etta, could you read that? Luke chapter 3. During Jesus' baptism, what did the Bible say? 3:21, you read that.
When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased.
In other words, when the author saying that Jesus is God's Son, he has confirmation through his prayer. When he pray, heaven open. When he pray, the Holy Spirit come down. When he pray, the voice come down. You hear his voice. You hear God's voice. You see it. You hear it. Using this Bible verse to prove that he's God's Son. He's high priest. When he pray, things happen. Does it make sense? With all this background, I know he's high priest. Right? Try one more time. Luke chapter 3, verse 21, right? And then 21 to what? 21 to 22, right? Go to Luke chapter 9. When Jesus prayed in the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened? The voice come down. God answered his prayer. Is that proof of his priesthood? Isn't it? Is it proof of his sonship? Right? Right? Proof both. That is the author is using it. You are my Son. Today I become your Father. Sonship. Right? At his resurrection. And you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Priesthood. Right? Same thing. All these other authors saying the same thing. Go to Luke chapter 9. Read that. Verse 28. Etter.
28.
Yep.
28.
9:28.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray.
Circle the word to pray. Nowhere. Mark talk about, in Mark chapter 9, talk about Jesus' transfiguration. Matthew chapter 7 talk about Jesus' transfiguration too. None of them mention about Jesus' prayer. Only Luke mentioned about Jesus' prayer. You got that? So I read that one more time. Verse 28. Samuel, you got to read the Bible, okay? Listen to Sister Etta reading it, okay? Go, read it.
About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray.
And 29, keep going.
As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. And
is there something happened?
And his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning.
Keep going.
Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
You know what he bring? Peter doesn't know what he's talking about. He make Jesus of equal to Moses and Elijah. No, Moses. No question about that. When Moses talking to God, his face shine. But his face shine is not like, his face shine because of the reflection. But Jesus shine. Because of what? From his inward. Okay? Shining outside. You understand? You cannot make Moses and Elijah of equal to God, Jesus. No way. Okay? Peter doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay? Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Keep reading it.
He did not know what he was saying.
That's right. 34.
While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him."
A voice in verse 35 is at the result of Jesus' prayer in verse 28-29. Do you understand? God answered his prayer right away. Have you ever heard a prayer like that? You know, when that person pray, thing happen. Is he not God's son? Is he not a high priest? He is God's son. He is a high priest. Because in both incidents, during baptism, when Jesus prayed, during transfiguration, Jesus prayed, and both voices come out from heaven, from Heavenly Father, saying that, "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." Am I right? So the author, you know what? The author read the Bible too. He read four gospel, right? We read four gospel. And he read four gospel and then he can write Hebrew, okay? And prove that Jesus' sonship and prove that Jesus' priesthood, right? By God answering his prayer. And how do I know that? Because I memorize the Bible verses. First of all, I memorize Psalm 99, 6 and 7. And then I memorize all the other Bible verses. And that's how I get the insight. You know what? You can do the same thing. I'm old man now, right? If I can do it, you can do it, Sally. Does it make sense? Give me five. Okay? Give me five. Okay, go back to Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 5. Although Jesus was a son, Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And now we are called sons of God because we believe in Jesus Christ. I think all of us has to go through what Jesus Christ has to go through. Learn obedience from what we suffer. So suffering is good for us. We can learn obedience. Why? Right beside suffer, we write down Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3 all the way to 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. How come you rejoice in your suffering? There's a reason for that. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. That's patience. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. If God allowed that kind of suffering into you, that means he wants to change your character. What kind of character he wants to change us? He wants us to change from disobedient to obedient. So that you'll be saved eternally. I want you to write down Romans 5, 3 all the way to 5. Right beside suffer. Learn obedience from what he suffered. You write down Romans chapter 5, 3 to 5. You got that? So it's good for us to suffer. Because suffering produces perseverance, character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God loves us. He wants you not only to be eternally saved. He has eternal life. He wants you to what? To receive glory. Okay? He wants you to receive glory. Verse 9. Read that one more time. Listen to me very carefully. When Jesus Christ once made perfect, Jesus Christ became the source of eternal salvation. Source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. You know what? At first, we just say, oh, we just have faith in Jesus. Now, as we know Jesus more, we want us to what? Obey Him. That is maturity. Oh, at first, you learn A, B, C. No! 10 years later, you're going to write a sentence to me. Don't just tell me A, B, C. There's something wrong with you. 10 years later, you still learn A, B, C. And you don't know how to write a letter to your father. You understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, I used to learn ABC. I used to believe that have faith in Jesus, you have eternal life. And now I learned that. When I go to maturity, I learned that, oh, now I know. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. I have to learn obedience through suffering too. And I know I have eternal life. Does it make sense? Now, verse 10. And Jesus was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. What's the proof that Jesus Christ was designated by God to be high priest? Because God answering his prayer. Right? Other than Psalm 99, 6 and 7, you write down what? Luke 3, 21 to 22, and then Luke 9, 28 all the way to where? You are my son with whom I'm well pleased. 9:28 all the way to 35. And then, wow, all the way to 36. Because when the voice has spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. Hey, because they say, this is my son. At that time, there's three persons are there. Jesus, Moses, and Aaron. Elijah, right? And hey, the Bible, the Luke, Dr. Luke, you want to make sure. When God said, this is my son, he didn't say it's Moses. He didn't say Elijah, okay? They're faithful servants. I don't let them down, okay? I don't put them down, okay? They're good too. But Jesus is the best. He want to make sure. He talk about Jesus, not talk about Moses and Elijah. So that's why in verse 36, when the voice has spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they have seen. So, 28 to 36. Now listen to me very carefully. I want to give you one more insight. The reason why when we read New Testament, we have to read four gospel first. Unfortunately, in four gospel, there's a lot of things we don't understand. We need what? We need Hebrew to help us to understand. We need Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We need all other epistles written by apostle. Written by apostle means Jesus' command, according to 2nd Peter chapter 3, verse 2. You understand? We need all these other teaching to help you understand four gospel. Because four gospel is very good. When you read four gospel, you don't quite understand, it's okay. You keep on reading it. And then you go back to read it. Now you have better understanding. But better understanding doesn't mean you have 100% understanding. Then you keep on reading it. That's how we grow into maturity. Do I make myself clear? You need to read it day after day until you fully understand. Right? What did I say, Daniel? How do you read four gospel?
You should read them day after day.
Day after day. Okay? Have a daily devotion. Okay, this year when you read it, you don't quite understand, but don't give up. Keep on reading the other book, Romans, right? Keep on attending church, listen to what pastor saying, and then go back to read again. Wow, man, I can have a better understanding this year than last year. And then a year after that, you have even deeper understanding. There's no shortcut, okay? No quick fix. We have to keep doing it. Okay? Okay. I understand now. Verse 11. We have much to say. The reason why the author of the book of Hebrew can explain to, can prove to us, can prove to us using the what? Verse 5 to 6, using the Old Testament, right? Verse 5, that is Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 6 is Psalm 110, verse 4. He's using Old Testament to prove that Jesus is the Son, is the high priest. He didn't take the honor to call himself is the Son of God. Someone call him. Who could someone call him? God himself call him. Right? And who call him your high priest? Moses called Aaron the high priest. But God called her what? Directly from heaven. You are a priest forever. Right? Now. And then, verse 7 to verse 10. The author not only used the Old Testament to prove that Jesus is the Son, is the High Priest forever. And he also used what? The New Testament, the four Gospels, to prove that he is the Son of God. He is the High Priest. Because God answered his prayer. Every time when he prayed, something happened. Why God answer his prayer? Because he has perfect submission to God. He obeyed God's voice. God obeyed. God listened to his voice and answer his prayer. He used both Old Testament to prove and New Testament to prove. His proof is valid. It's trustworthy. Does that make sense? Now go to verse 11. How come this guy can use both Old Testament and New Testament to prove that Jesus did not take the honor upon himself to call himself Son of God, to call himself the High Priest? Because he himself studied the scripture. He studied the Old Testament, he studied the New Testament. And that's why he can write the book of Hebrew. That's why I say he's a good preacher. He studied what the other people saying. He studied what another person saying. New Testament saying. Old Testament saying. And then he write Hebrew. He's a good pastor. I learned from him. Wong Wei Gao, do you learn that now?
Yeah.
You know where I learned it from?
You learned from Apostle Paul.
And Hebrew too.
Yeah.
I learned it from Matthew too.
Yeah.
I learned it from Jeremiah too. I want to learn it from them all. Like martial art. You want to be good, you learn from them all. And then you have your own style.
I'm going to beat up so many times. Thank you.
Oh man. Verse 11. We have much to say about this. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In other words, you know what? You know why some people don't have a breakthrough? Because he didn't want to learn. He wants to have a breakthrough in understanding God's word. You got to study yourself. I cannot help you. I can show you my way. I can show you what they do. But eventually you have to do it yourself. I can show you how to cook this kind of food. But eventually you have to eat it yourself. You say, oh, you say it tastes good, eh? Tell me how good it is. You can explain it. But eventually you have to eat it yourself, right? You have to study the scripture yourself. We all have to do that. Okay, that's how we grow. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain. You know why it's hard to explain? Because you have to have a foundation. You have to know the Old Testament, you have to know the New Testament before you can understand what he's trying to say. Otherwise, you won't appreciate what he's saying. So that's why he say it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Slow to learn, what does it mean? because you don't study. If you study the Old Testament, you study the New Testament, do not give up, you'll be quick to learn. You got that? Verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be what? You ought to be teacher because you've been a Christian for a long time. You're supposed to be teaching others. Yet you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You know why a lot of Christians nowadays is still an infant in Christ? Because they don't study, they just listen. It doesn't please me. Yesterday it pleased me because what his son, the Chen Chen Li, second son.
Xu Nanchong.
Who do I say?
Chen Chen Li.
Chen Chen Li. Okay, I'm sorry. I mix up the Mandarin name. Xu Nanchong. Ask her son to memorize the Bible verses, and her son stand up in Psalm 23, recite that Psalm 23. Good. You know, this kind of son is good son. Even though when Pastor John passed away, this kind of son can carry the baton and teach other people because God can use them. And today, lo and behold, oh, the Lord know what I need, you know. I need to be cheer up. On Friday, I get cheer from Xu Nanchong's son. And today, I got cheer by Daniel. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 53. Give me 5. I'm very happy.
12 verses minus 1.
And because he's
misleading.
Misleading you, right? You know what I mean? You know what pleases Pastor John? You know what pleases Heavenly Father? We hide his word within our heart. We may not fully understand what he's trying to say or what we recite. But when the time comes, when I suffer, when I need God's word to cheer me up, to encourage me, all these Bible verses will come into my mind and speak to me. Do you hear me? You can listen to Pastor John's sermon. You can study Bible worship with Pastor John. That doesn't please him. Until you memorize God's word, you please God. And I know you do not want elementary teaching. You want solid food. That please me. Memorize Bible verses, take effort, is solid food. Do you understand? Verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teacher, because you learn so much, you hear so much, you're supposed to be teaching other people, yet you need someone else to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. Again and again, that's exactly what happened. What the church, they don't memorize God's word. Why? Because the pastor don't even do it. The elder don't even do it. They're in a dead end. They won't grow. They're always in kindergarten. I refuse to be in kindergarten. I want to be in graduate school. You understand? Say that after me, okay? I want to be in graduate school as we got into God's word. Okay? And then, you need milk, not solid food. That is bad. If you need milk and not solid food, that means you are Samuel. Is Samuel only need milk, not solid food? Do you eat solid food?
Don't look at your father.
Yeah, do you answer my question? In verse 12, Samuel need milk, not solid food. Is it true or not? Yes or no? What about Daniel? Do you drink milk? How many glasses now? Is it in a bottle?
No more glasses, expired.
No more glasses. Once in a while you drink milk, it's okay. If you drink milk without solid food, you are in deep trouble. And you have to say to yourself, not me. Not me. Okay? Verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant. That means you tell the whole world, I'm a baby. Treat me like a baby. And they don't even know that. But if you call them baby, they think that you insulted them. But they insulted themselves. Call me baby. Because I still need infant milk, you know. Right? Did I tell you the story when I was in Hong Kong? I graduated university in Ottawa, and I was a student visa at that time. I got to leave Canada. But all my family has already immigrated to Canada. I have to go back to apply for immigration. I know I don't know how to cook because I don't learn it. When I was at university, I go to cafeteria. And when I go home, I don't know how to cook. So I make up my mind. I wasn't a Christian at that time. I went to a superstore to buy a big can of powdered milk. And then the lady said to me, wow, your baby must be big. I say, yeah, really big. But I didn't tell her, because I don't want to tell her, okay? And she said, your baby got to be big, that huge, that big box? I say, yeah. When I get home, I open it up and take the can, you know, it's a protective can. You don't take it out, you don't see the powder. They still have a cup for that. I take it out. Just how many teaspoons of powdered baby powder? I don't know how many. I just laugh it. And when I look back, oh man, I'm like a baby. That's no good. You know what? If I know how to cook food, I don't drink that. You see? Nowadays, a lot of Christians, they open it up and drink it. That's who I am. When I become a Christian, I say to God, I need solid food. I don't need milk. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, and is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. I don't know what is right. I don't know what is wrong. I don't know what is true. I don't know what is for. I rely upon people to give me the answer. When I read the scripture, I can digest solid food. I know who is right. I know who is wrong. When I read the scripture, if there's a wrong translation, I know it's something wrong. Because it doesn't match all other teaching. I know they are wrong. You understand? But if you don't have a deeper understanding, read the solid food, eat the solid food, read the Bible yourself, you do not have the discernment. What is right, what is wrong. Thanks God that my life was changed. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, and is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Verse 14. But solid food is for the mature. Solid food is for the mature. If you want to be perfect, I want you to write it down. 5:9 equal to what? Genesis 17:1, Psalm 119:1, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. And now I want you to write down equal to 5:9 is also equal to 5:14. If you still are infant, don't tell me you can be perfect. You are daydreaming, man. If you want to be perfect, what's the first step? You have to say to yourself, I'm not infant anymore. I want to be mature. When you want to be mature and study the scripture, there's a possibility you can be perfect. Don't ever tell me you say, oh, just be perfect and then you become perfect. You're daydreaming. Study the scripture first, man. Memorize it first and put it into practice.
and practice it. And one of these days, all of a sudden, you become overcomer. Thing that you cannot do, now you can do it. You know what happened? I trained up my daughter 3.5 years ago. She said to me, Daddy, I cannot be an engineer. And today, she take up the iron ring in front of everybody. And you know who give her the iron ring? Daddy give her the iron ring. When I give her the iron ring, I said, Joyce, do you regret? Are you a good engineer now? She said, yes. You see that? She said to me, I can't do it. I said, you can. The matter of, do you want to do it? Don't tell me you are a loser. You are not a loser. We are all an overcomer. We can do it. Let's say it together. We can do it, okay? I can do all things through him who give me strength. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I can do it through him who give me strength. Through Jesus Christ who give me strength. I can do it. If he say that if he say to me, be perfect, therefore your heavenly Father is perfect. If he require me to do it, I know I can do it through him who give me strength. So I want you to write it down. 5:14, right beside 5:14. You write down Philippians 4:13. Read that to me, Etter. 4:13. Right beside 5:14, you go to Philippians 4:13. Read that 4:13.
Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
You want me to be perfect? Yes, I can be perfect if you help me. Isn't it? And how can God help you? You have to help yourself first. You have to write down 5:14. You have to make up your mind you're going to eat salty food. You have to make up your mind to eat salty food. I teach my daughter, you have to study yourself. Every time in the textbook, don't jump. Start from chapter 1. In one of these days, you're going to learn it. He learned that lesson. He got it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to make up our mind, to make a decision today to eat solid food. We don't live on milk. We live on solid food. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If I keep on eating solid food, one of these days I become mature. One of these days I will be perfect, just like Jesus is perfect. And that is the direction that we are heading. And that's the goal that we want to achieve. Not that we have already attained the goal, but we forget what is behind and strain and look forward to be perfect. And through the help of our Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you encourage us to do so. By constant use of the solid food, we're going to train ourselves to be able to distinguish good from evil. Lord, help us. We want to be overcomer. We don't want to be a loser. We don't want to be remain to be infant. We want to be a mature Christian, to be perfect like you. So help us, God. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.